to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 127 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is Jimmy and welcome. This week I have with me Charlotte. Hey Charlotte, how's it going?
It's going great, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
Sam?
Jimmy, what is happening? And hey guys, don't forget, head out to DisneyMadness.com. Make sure you vote for the second round of the Disney Madness Tournament. Character Madness, it's awesome. Make sure you vote.
Ed can't be with us. Ed's actually in Florida, spending some time, I think, around Tampa, and then later this week going to be stopping by Walt Disney World for a day or two.
Oh, come on. He's going there as quick as he can.
I know he is. I know he is. This week we have a great pleasure of having John Panda on with us from BigFatPanda.com. John, how's it going?
Good. After Sam's intro, I want to go to DisneyMadness.com.
Go check it out, man. Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, you have to do that introduction, Big Fat Panda. There's no other way to do it, is there?
Right. There's no other way.
Big Fat Panda.
Every year, this is our third year doing the podcast, and every year we have done some type of bracket. The first year was
Attractions.
Last year was Disney animated movies. This year are characters, which we have different brackets for Marvel characters, Disney park characters, princesses, classic characters, Star Wars characters, and we're just narrowing them down to
Disney
find out
parks,
who,
baby. That's the good one.
Who
so
is going to be?
We blew it out this year.
Some people think it wouldn't be Disney parks, though. Some people prefer the Marvel characters.
We'll see where it comes from. Where we
so get out there. What's that website again, Sam?
DisneyMadness.com.
DisneyMadness.com. John, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
All right. So let me ask you a question, John. Big Fat Panda, where does that come from?
You know, it's sad because it comes from a non-Disney source, which I dislike, but it is true. From Kung Fu Panda. If you watch Kung Fu Panda at the end of part one, the bad guy says to him, "You're just a big fat panda." And he says, "No, I'm not a big fat panda. I'm the big fat panda."
Awesome.
And it was awesome. He owned it, and I stole it.
You're just a big fat panda.
I'm not a big fat panda. I'm the big fat panda. Skadoosh.
It's pretty awesome. So,
and that's perfect.
Panda, you tell us about you. What do you do? What's your thing?
Well, wow, it's changed over the years, but right now my thing is basically, I guess you could call it video blogging Disney.
That makes sense.
You know, I don't really write too much. I write sometimes for my sponsor, DVCRentals.com. I write sometimes for a site called Adventures by Daddy, but I don't write at all. Like, I don't have a blog, and I love not having a blog because, you know, everybody's blogging and stuff. So I kind of do the video thing, and it lets me, I guess, entertain. I love to entertain. So in my way, I guess it's me saying, hey, this is what I want you to see and experience, and hopefully the people like it, and I'm entertaining them.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, that's very similar, basically, to what Sam does with Sam's Disney Diary, and that's actually how me and Ed found him because of his YouTube videos, and that's how he ended up on the show, is because of his YouTube videos. So maybe you guys need a joint venture and do a video together.
Yeah.
I have to check that out and at least get him as a guest on the show, but I do have to go look at it.
So what I would say is a little different, because mine really started as just taking those vacation videos and sort of packaging them up and sharing them, because everybody loved to see them. And like you, John, it's storytelling. It's really what it comes down to. And that's what Disney's all about, storytelling.
You know, something, you are absolutely right. Even in my most simple – list of videos. I never thought of it, but I wanted to tell a story. Like, I would have people call me with that had kids who were on the autism spectrum, and they would say, thank you for showing me the boarding of the ride and the unboarding. And I didn't want to take the credit because I wasn't showing it for the thought that, you know, a child with autism might find it comforting to see how to get in the ride and how to get out. I was doing it because I thought everybody was crazy like me and wanted to see the Peter Pan vehicles and, you know, the conveyor belt and how you walk on and how the, you know, how you walk off. So yes, it's telling a story. In the simplest of terms, everything is, yes.
Absolutely. And that's cool. You got to like that.
Telling the story, but you're also filling so many questions that people have. And so you're filling so many needs right there with your videos, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that there was that need where, especially, I'm sure there's other needs I don't know about, but children of autism, they wanted to know what to expect at every turn before they would try an attraction. So the parents would say, you know, they wouldn't go on, the child wouldn't go on Splash Mountain. They were talking them into it. But after they've watched the video like 50 times, they loved it and they were ready for it because they knew what to expect at every twist and turn. And it was awesome to get that, you know, that feedback was awesome.
That's fantastic. Great. Yeah, that's definitely very cool.
Absolutely. So a couple of things and where I was headed. The whole vacation videos for me, right? I'm up north, so I get down there. I take some video that I can, then I'll bring it back and put a story around it. But you get to do some pretty interesting things being a local and being part of this community that we have there.
Well, yes.
One of the things that you did recently that I want to ask you about, I had it circled on my calendar, but I had no way of getting there. And that was the DVC 25 Bash at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible. I was actually invited by someone. And remember, I lived up north too. I wasn't always a local. I've been here 13 years. I was from Long Island, New York. So I understand
that. Did you have the bug then?
Oh, since I was five, yeah.
Okay.
And I would keep telling my parents, I'm going to move there. And they said, no, you're going to grow out of it. And it's the one thing they were wrong about. I never grew out of it. But yeah, I was invited by someone that owned DVC. And it was pretty incredible. It was only 3 hours, which is what was said. It was from 9 to midnight, which really isn't that, you know, in the Magic Kingdom, 3 hours goes by. You could wink and it goes away.
Sure.
But it was really nice the way they kept it very intimate. It was not a lot of people. It never felt crowded. And the special fireworks, it was like, you know, it felt like the most spectacular fireworks show for very few people. And I was surprised, like, when did they test this? When did they put the money into this? And they just had Wishes for the regular guests a couple of hours ago. So
this was after Wishes, which I wondered. So that everybody knows, this was a DVC. It's their 25th anniversary this year, and they're having some special events all year long. And two nights in early March, they closed the Magic Kingdom, opened, and allowed it for DVC guests that pre-registered. So kind of like get in for free, and we're going to do a special fireworks. Not just fireworks, there were some special walk-around characters there too, which looked kind of cool that I want to talk about in a minute. But these fireworks were not Wishes, something completely different and refreshing and new. And tell me how it felt to be there, because it really looked cool.
It was amazing. It definitely wouldn't replace Wishes for me, because the music was kind of pop music and it wasn't, you know, as fantasy. It was like, when can I see you again? You know, it was kind of like music like I've heard on the Disney Channel or something.
Right. Not that song in Disneyland isn't the best for Paint the Night Parade, but that's
exactly.
A whole other story. That's
it was that song, yeah. I don't know where else I've heard that from. Is it a Disney song or is it from the radio?
It's the ending credits of Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yes.
With different lyrics, but that's where it's from.
There you go.
I am so glad that mystery is solved. Thank you, Sam. So, yes, that's where – yeah. And so it wouldn't replace Wishes, because it wasn't the When You Wish Upon a Star. But I have the finale on my YouTube channel. If you went to BigFatPanda.com and looked just for the finale, it's only a minute. It's there. And it's really just like, wow. I didn't expect that much bang for the amount of people that were there.
Pun intended, right?
Yeah.
Panda, you talked a little bit. You said you had the bug since you were five. And one of the things we like to ask people when they come on the show as a guest is, you know, what makes you or what caused you to be a Disney nerd?
I was basically we never really went on vacation. I don't know if I'd consider us. I say we were quite poor. We really weren't. We were just, you know, satisfied with running through the sprinkler as kids. That's all we had the money to do.
Sure.
Other than that, I'm sure there were kids much more worse off than me, so I hate to say the word poor, but I felt like we didn't have much compared to other families.
Yeah, I get it.
But you know, we went to the Catskill Game Farm. That was vacation to me. I thought that was vacation. So I'm probably about 5 years old. I know we're going on an airplane, and this is big now. Something very different is happening in my life. I'm not just at home, and we're getting on, I think it was Eastern Airlines. And I just remember being on my dad's shoulders, which I would kill the guy now. I was on his shoulders on the ferry boat, and we're crossing over the Seven Seas Lagoon, and I see this kingdom. And I just remember thinking, wow, this is, you know, whatever's over there is going to be spectacular. I knew it. And I remember actually having the conversation that I would say, what's that hotel, Dan? He would say, that's the Contemporary, and that's the Polynesian. The Grand Floridian wasn't there. And this was 1976, 77 maybe. And he said, yeah, you're never going to stay there. So there are times now where I do stay there, and I call him from there, and I'm like, tearing up, going, guess where I am? And you know, I don't know if it means as I really am. I'm like, I'm in the 10th floor of the Contemporary, and I can see the cat. You'd said we'd never stay here. And he still thinks I'm crazy. He still thinks I'm nuts for whatever I did to stay there.
Right.
Of course, if it costs more than $49 a night, he thinks I spent too much.
Right.
So, I hear you.
I remember when I got back home from that trip. If I saw bricks on the side of the road anywhere, somebody was throwing something out and it looked like material that I could use to build the Haunted Mansion, we would collect it. And I told my father, we're going to build the Haunted Mansion in the backyard.
Nice.
And I remember actually believing that, you know, I had the space and the material to do this. I just realized there was a simpler time where I didn't think of things. And he didn't even tell me, John, this is impossible. He'd say, like, oh, there's another brick. Let's put it in the collection. And I kind of think that little kid fantasy and the dad keeping it alive was really healthy for some reason, even though, you know, a psychologist may say that's not healthy. Let the kid know that's impossible. We actually did wind up building a haunted mansion in our basement when he got divorced and the basement was clear. But it's funny how, you know, the dream just kept in me, and I kept saying, Dad, I got to move there. And, you know, by 10 years old, I would still be talking about it. I didn't go back until I was about 16 and had saved my own money up from working in a video store. Yeah. And again, it never left me. That whole bug never left. So it came from the classic Magic Kingdom visit from 5 years old.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. That's really a great story. And then, wow. That's a pretty good one. I did have one quick question because it seemed like we had some breaking news today about a after-hours party that you can pay for 3 hours. It's like $150 per person, but it's supposed to be very, very limited, where the probably lines would be non-existent. There's supposed to be a lot of characters roaming around. So I'm wondering if this DVC party might have been like the test for this new hard ticket event that we maybe see coming soon.
That's exactly what I thought when I heard about it. At first glance, $150 for 3 hours really doesn't seem like a great value to me.
No, it's a lot of money. Just
you know, right. And I said, oh, it seems like they're doing the DVC thing. And I'm really hoping that it doesn't take away from other regular late night hours that the park would usually be open, you know, for the regular guests, because then that would be just not right. That would be a money grab.
Yeah.
And if they do these special characters, I find, just like the villains thing, if we get into Club Villain, the character thing seems to have a really big value for me. Even though I'm a food lover, obviously, the food thing is less to me than this character thing. So Sam was asking about special characters on the DVC night, and I was mentioning the Haunted Mansion, what an impact that had on me.
I was going to go exactly there. Haunted Mansion.
Okay, good. Quick story about that with me was I didn't want to go on the Haunted Mansion. The rest of my family did. I'm 5 years old. It's howling. I don't want to go in. And my father, who never hit me, he just would look mad. He got on his hands and knees, and he's a big Italian guy like me, and he said very sternly, there is nothing in this world that you're scared of more than me. Not that house. You'll be scared of me. Come on. And I knew.
I got to remember that.
At that moment, I couldn't believe he's making me do this. I had no out, and I loved it so much that at that time you had to pay per ride. And I remember overhearing him say, I'm going to go broke now that I made him want to go on it, because now he wants to go over and over and over.
Was Haunted Mansion an E-ticket, or was it a D at that point?
It was an E, as in Edward, E-ticket.
It was an E, definitely. Yeah.
And I forget how much it was, but it was like $5, and I think I went on four times. And at that time, $20 in 1976 for my dad was
a lot of money.
You know, this is a lot, yeah. And the if you ever remember the stretching room, the lady with the parasol, who I – Sam, I don't know if you know she has a name. Do you know this? Any Jimmy too?
No, I did not know that.
Okay, I didn't know this. Apparently Daisy de la Cruz is her name.
Oh.
She's French.
Yeah. So she comes out and she says, bonsoir, bonsoir. This is a great video. Again, I hate to keep, you know – advertising.
So she, the lady with the umbrella on the tightrope, is a walk-around character for this event.
Oh, yes. Good.
That's fantastic.
And I don't think that she has ever been a character before. They've had other Haunted Mansion back there for Halloween parties, but I've never seen her.
Yes, you're right. I've always seen, like, the bride or something outside. Yep. I've never seen her. Did you see the video by any chance of her?
I did, which is why I didn't answer knowing what her name was.
Oh, okay. Okay. If you get a chance, I do have a video on the website. The video is awesome because I was transfixed on her for, like, I guess 10 minutes. And she does hold your attention. I believe she's the same actress who did Betty Shambles over at the studios.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually say to her in the video, I have to introduce you to Betty Shambles. And she says, she sounds fascinating. And I said, well, she is, and so are you. You know, I didn't want to kill the character for her, but I wanted to let her know that I enjoyed her work. And she actually has a story about how she died and went into the mansion. And it's that the tightrope went from here to she says the Tom Sawyer Island. I can't do it as good as her. But she says, I was walking and the alligator, you know, the Florida wildlife, he looked like he had a lot to eat. And she slipped and that's it. Next thing she remembers, she's in the mansion.
Oh, that's awesome, though. That's so cool.
It's pretty awesome. So great to have, like, a lore to go with, you know, our character. I loved it.
Sure. You have to think that'll be part of the Halloween party.
Yeah.
You'd have to think so.
They really could take all of the characters in the stretching room and at some point have them walk around with a story, and the people would just, you know, because I think we always want more out of that attraction because it's so great.
We were talking about the brackets that we do every March, and the theme park bracket we did, if I'm not mistaken, Haunted Mansion 1 did not.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, it did.
Yeah. It was absolutely by far my favorite attraction in all of Walt Disney World.
Some of my favorite Run Disney costumes have been the stretching room people. I've seen them in quite a few of the different Run Disney, the Tower of Terror, 10 Miler, the Princess, and they've taken the stretching room photos and made them into their costumes. And I love that. And I love hearing that there's a backstory and that we are going to get backstory now. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I would love the rest of the backstories from everybody. I really would. There's also a Haunted Mansion comic book out now by Marvel, which issue one came out, just in case you're that much of a Haunted Mansion person.
I would buy it. Yeah, I bought the Figment one.
Yes, it's on digital too. If you have the iPad, you can get it right now.
Nice.
Neat.
I need to have it in my hand.
Yeah, I'd like to have the physical copy too.
You know, it's funny because I felt like that, but I hate when they get, like, bent or crinkled. So I told myself the digital way is the way to have it, and it's always perfect.
Well, so you got to buy one, like, hard copy to keep in a sleeve, and then you read the digital copy, right?
You know what? I don't, but I think that's what I'm going to wind up doing now.
Okay.
No, that's pretty cool. The Haunted Mansion comics, awesome.
Yeah.
One for the collection and one to read.
They've done what? They've done Figment. Didn't they do Big Thunder not long ago?
Yeah. Have you read Big Thunder?
I have not. I haven't checked it out, but I remember the release or something about them releasing doing the comic for Big Thunder.
Yeah, I think I have to check out Big Thunder also.
Just more things for us nerds to get lost in.
Oh, my God.
And also, Sam, just while we're on characters, if you want to stay on there, did you see the Club Villain and Jimmy 2 and Charlotte?
I wanted to talk to you about was Club Villain. Tell us everything because the pictures, everything looked so amazing.
Now, here's the funny thing about Club Villain. The price tag is not cheap. It went from $99 up to $120. And I still think it's worth every penny. And I don't even like the food. And I'm not a big drinker. The food to me was a little odd. I ate the chicken thigh gumbo, but the rest of the stuff was like – it was just very weird stuff. And sometimes it takes me time, especially in a dark, new atmosphere. I got to think of what it is and look at it before I dive into it. So in any event, even if – to me, it's just the characters. They made it worth it. They are face character Maleficent, face character Queen of Hearts. Wicked
Which,
Queen,
by the way, is the first time I've seen face character Queen of Hearts.
I believe it's
Queen
the
of
first
Hearts
time...
historically had a regular face, like the cartoon.
Yes, yeah. I believe it's the first time anybody's seen it, because that was the most talked about one. Mm. The Wicked Queen and Cruella, who I think have always been face characters, I think.
I believe so.
But the Queen of Hearts takes the cake, and it's not very crowded because they have to leave the dance floor open, and they just put tables in like a horseshoe shape around the dance floor. The entertainment was very good. The character interaction, everybody got a time to go and see the characters, and the characters definitely didn't rush you. They wanted to talk to you. They wanted the Queen of Hearts was absolutely crazy. And if you watch some of the videos, she's just outrageous, outrageously done the whole thing. And it is an open bar, so if you can find a value in the liquor and the food, it's just adding to it. But I would pay that not to wait on horrible lines and just have these great character interactions. It really reverts me back to being a kid and believing that these people are real.
I'm pretty sure me and Sam could find the value in the alcohol.
I did drink more the second time than the first time. I didn't drink at all. The second time I said, okay, let me have some.
Okay.
So is that because the first time you're behind your camera and the second time you weren't?
Exactly. I was basically working the first time, and the second time I was just fun. There was no work. I didn't have to film anything. I didn't even bring the camera the second time.
See, and I personally enjoy doing that as well. There are times when I'll go and I'll take some video, but then there's other times when I'm with my family and I just put the camera away.
Absolutely.
Put the camera away and enjoy yourself, because it's Disney World, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm. And it's a whole different experience. It's just like it's just like the comic book. Read one, put one away. It's the same thing.
Yep, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, when we were there last week for my daughter's 16th birthday, that was one thing she said. Mom, put the camera down and let's just be in the moment. And
which is kind of cool.
Which is very cool. You know, my 16-year-old wants to hang out with me for her 16th birthday. And, I'll put the camera down.
That's good advice, right?
That is very mm-hmm. good advice. There were times where the fireworks show is done, and I know it was beautiful, but I saw it in a 3-inch screen, and I forgot what it looked like in person.
That's right.
Hmm. So
that's a very good
that's
point.
Good.
Yep.
So, John, let me ask you this, because obviously you've been down there for a while. You get to the parks frequently. What, in your mind, have been some of the best changes that have happened recently? There's been so much
Good
that's
question.
Happened and so much that we're anticipating. What to you is like, wow, even as a local, I need to go see this?
Okay, the hub definitely was the biggest, best change, and I didn't know if it was going to be when the construction was going on. I'm talking about the area in front of the castle.
Mm-hmm.
The hub, it is now much more open. It definitely feels less of a cluster train wreck in there. It's beautiful even when it's not crowded. With
it
the
is
fake,
beautiful.
Right, the fake – did you see the fake grass where the people are just taking a nap and having a picnic?
Yep.
Things like the queue for Peter Pan – the queue now seems to trump the ride almost with the special effects that are going on in the queue before you get on the ride. I forgot the name, but one of my friends took the word disappointment and changed it into like enchant appointment. Like you're so enchanted, you know, you get there and you're not. So eventually I think the ride will get not any big changes, but I think it will get a refresh to put some of this new technological magic into it, because Tinkerbell just looks like she's alive in the queue. I'm glad the hat is gone from the studios. I like seeing the Chinese theater.
I like seeing the fireworks when they happen.
Yes, completely. The other changes to the studio I'm not so happy with, because I know that, you know, the left half of the park is basically going away.
So I visited DCA when it was in the height of its construction, and it was so sad, and there were walls everywhere, and there wasn't much to do when you went in there, and you did Tower of Terror, and you did Soarin', and the roller coaster, and that was about it. But once that's finished, it's absolutely amazing what they did to that park, and we have to put faith in that Studios is going to be like that, or whatever they're going to call this place, is going to be just completely redone, reimagined, an incredible place to be, and I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I just think the
it
road,
just won't
to,
happen
the
soon
road
enough.
To it. Yeah, I know the road to it is going to be drastic, but I do believe it'll be great when it's done. I just can't wait. I want a model now. I want to see something.
Yes.
Give me some concept art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give me one man's dream. Come on, guys, you got it right there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Talking about the hub, John. We were just talking about that recently on an episode. The last time I was there, matter of fact, the last I think night I was there, was in October, and it was me, Sam, and Ed. We were all together, and we watched what is the castle show? Not Wishes, but the projection thing.
Oh, Celebrate the Magic.
So we watched that and then Wishes, and we watched it from that new second hub. And I found that the music sound is so much better than anywhere else because it's all in brand new speakers and, you know, just everything's so new and it looks great and it sounds great. It's very excited about what they've done there.
Yeah, I was scared they were going to get rid of too much water, but they really didn't. The water is still there. It just has a lot more ground. And like you said, the new speakers, the new lights.
We were all lamenting about the loss of the water. I mean, the Disney vlogs, everybody, the different groups. Oh, no, the water's going. What are we all going to do? And then it was so ugly for a while. And now it is beautiful. I think it's beautiful. We hang out there so much just to relax a little bit, eat a snack, kind of, you know, gather what we want to do next kind of thing. I cannot wait to go back with my granddaughter and just let her, you know, play around on the grass for a little bit.
Statues and the fountains. They're so pretty.
It's just so pretty. I love it.
You know, and I'll tell you what I like the most about it is if you're a new visitor to the Magic Kingdom or you haven't been there in a long time, you probably don't even notice.
I agree
because
with that.
Because it just feels like it's always been there. And yep. I love that about it. I think it's the best part of the construction.
Absolutely.
So recently, John, we had a show on a podcast episode that was all about technology and what we use at the park, like, you know, our phones. Or do you bring a tablet? Do you bring a laptop when you go to Walt Disney World? You know, external batteries, you know, that type of stuff. So, you know, you and Sam are probably the professionals on taking videos in the theme park. So what are some of your tips just for the listeners to make sure you're getting good quality videos that you'll enjoy when you get home to the largest extent possible?
I have one of those Sony Handycams, the high-end Sony consumer Handycam. And I put the larger battery on the back, and that gives me a good 2.5 hours to film, which is usually – now, see, because I'm a local, I usually don't go for like a whole day. I'll go for 3 or 4 hours at a time because I can go back. So it may be different for me. With my phone, I have the case that has the extra battery in it. So at least I have my phone battery, and then I have a switch on the back, which gives me another second technically phone battery. And that's fine for me, but if I had to spend a whole day, I bet you Sam has some extra batteries and extra stuff going with him.
Oh, you know it. There's a backpack full of exactly that stuff.
Yeah.
And not just batteries, memory cards.
Yep.
Holy cow, there's nothing worse than trying to get wishes. And it's funny because I don't go with the expectation of recording all this stuff, but I end up doing it because I'm there.
Yep.
Right? So what's the harm in setting up a camera on a small little tripod and then pointing it to the sky and hitting record?
I agree.
Nothing is the way I look at it. And who knows? It's another angle someday when I edit things together.
Exactly.
So what about, you know, when you're doing these videos – So, I mean, I've seen – I'm sure if you go on YouTube, there's probably 100 videos of Wishes. What do you guys do to separate your video so it's just not just another video of Wishes?
You know, with something like Wishes, you probably can't separate it too much except to try to do the best quality. 60 frames per second is a big thing with fireworks and me now. It takes a lot long to render. I'm sure Sam knows all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And to get it onto YouTube takes another, you know, it's double the time because it's 60 frames per second. But the people do notice a difference and see a difference in the quality. Sometimes when the music is copyrighted, I will, like a lot of people I notice, will either put their own music in or chop it up to the extent where it's unwatchable. I usually will go the route. Like, for instance, I just did the It's a Small World video. And again, it's not fireworks, but it's I did it what I call PandaVision is my gimmick for multi-angle. I filmed a straight center shot going down the middle, and then I filmed the left side and the right side. Then I got home and I put it together with one audio track from the middle so that you can see what's going on at the same time without, you know, hearing all these cuts. But when I went to upload it to YouTube, YouTube says this is copyright. You can't make money off of this. Fine. On that video, I choose not to make money or monetize it, because I will get more subscribers and people will still enjoy it. I couldn't put my own music on, you know, It's a Small World.
Right, it wouldn't be the same.
Right. The Boo to You Parade is one of those where you can't use their music, so people put other music on, and it's not the same. Sometimes you have to forfeit the money, you know, to get a good video.
Sure. That makes complete sense.
Absolutely. Well, I love your Panda Vision.
And, thank you.
My granddaughter will be 2 next month, and she and I watch Panda Vision a good bit.
Thank you. I've gotten out of the attractions. I got to get back into them. I sort of did all the attractions, and then I didn't have more to do. And now I have to go back to some of the old ones and redo the ones that are updated and start to do them again. It's such an edit job. Sam, I know you could probably
appreciate – That's the biggest part of it. The edit's absolutely the part.
The Carousel of Progress was an edit. It just felt – it went on forever because I did, again, the center shot, the left, the right. And with that one, I couldn't use one audio track. And they didn't want me to film. Like, so I had to kind of do it like almost – not really – I would never break the rules to get thrown out. But I kind of did it like, oh, I – you know, no habla inglés. And, you know.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
The American Adventure. Oh, that was some video. To get close-ups of the animatronics, plus to get the wide shots. I must have watched that show 10 times to get the footage.
You'd at least have to. Absolutely.
And it was, you know, it's not that I'm complaining. I love it, but wow. Tiki Room. Oh.
The viewers take for granted just how much work goes into something like that. I mean, they we really do.
Well, you know what's really funny? If it's an animatronic show, it's fine because everybody's in the same position at the same time, so when I cut and edit, it looks okay. If you do, like, I did Finding Nemo, and at some point I wanted to get
hard. The music.
It's hard, but it's different people also. I didn't realize. So I'm watching 3 different shows with 2 different casts. So at home, when they're belting it out and I want to go to a close-up, sometimes the voice you're hearing is not the voice of the person that it's coming out of.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, you would never notice this because of the way it's edited, but I couldn't get the same person, you know, at the same place.
Yeah, right.
So it's a very interesting thing. As a matter of fact, when I did The Lion King, they changed color. The person went from Caucasian to African American within one cut.
it's like magic.
It's like magic. And nobody notices because of the costume. Unless I tell you, you go, oh, that's right. Because their costume was so. You know, Red Falcon, you just assumed it was the same person, which is kind of cool.
Very neat.
That's good. Well, that means we're seeing the costume and not the color of the person.
Exactly.
That's really where all that editing is where the passion comes out. And I know exactly what you're talking about, because without passion for what you're watching and joy for going through it, you wouldn't spend all the time to pull all of that together.
Exactly.
And that's the difference between doing what you're doing versus recording a video and posting it up on YouTube, and then somebody watches it and the camera's bouncing all around and the video quality's not good and you get a headache watching it. And
absolutely.
It's the difference, and you can tell. Absolutely. And that's one of the big differences, Jimmy, with the you know, hundreds of Illuminations videos that you'll find on YouTube.
Okay, good.
Right?
That's awesome.
That's why mine doesn't go on YouTube, because there's some – you guys do it way better than I do.
Now, you can definitely tell the difference when you're watching somebody – you know, watching a professionally done video of one of the attractions or shows versus somebody's just, you know, their trip. You know, they just slapped a camera on, you know, on the railing and just kind of tried to film it the best they could. John, do you get into any of the, like – live Facebook or Periscope or any of that?
You know, I did. I've been doing Periscope.
Okay.
But it seems that the live Facebook, I'm getting more people.
Well, it's just so much easily shared. You know, the live Facebook, like, so we have a group called Disney Nerds that has about 18,000 members. So if I see you live on Facebook and I go share it to the group, it pops up on the group. All you gotta do is click it. Periscope is like a completely – it's not built into Facebook. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
it's not built
right,
in.
Right.
So I've done both. There's a very, very good Periscope – Disney Periscope community out there who's very supportive. So that's cool. But I've noticed the same thing. You get a lot more viewers. I mean, I've seen random people that most of us wouldn't even know get 2,000-3,000 people viewing their Facebook Live, where if you're on Periscope and you get a couple hundred people, you're doing good.
Yes. The only thing I wish Facebook would do is put in some stabilizing software, because it's a lot more jittery than Periscope right now.
Gotcha. I'm sure that's something they're developing. Look, I have an Android, so I don't even have – I can't even do Facebook. So
I don't even have it yet either.
Yeah, so that's not available on the Android Facebook app as of yet. They piloted it on Apple devices. So.
Oh, I wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we can't even use it yet. So
we're sitting over here gritting our teeth going, well, oh.
I emailed them. I said, you know what? I'll just be using Periscope till then. So – Hopefully they come around, but I'll make sure. Where can people find you on Periscope?
On Periscope, I'm at Big Fat Panda Show.
Okay.
And where Facebook else is facebook.com/pandavisionvideos. And, of course, bigfatpanda.com is my site, but it kind of leads to YouTube and all that stuff also.
And I'm sure on your site you got links to your Facebook and all that stuff there as well.
Yes, yes. And the site will show the monthly show first and then all the other videos. But, of course, YouTube has, you know, a lot bigger of a catalog.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense.
So, John, we asked you about like the most that had changed or what stands out the most. What are you most anticipating with all these changes coming to studios, to Animal Kingdom, to Disney Springs, for crying out loud? But as a local, that has to be pretty cool, all the new stuff happening there.
Disney Springs is awesome, and every time you go, something new is coming up, and the restaurants, and I mean, it's really looking nice. And did you recently see that area with the clear blue water going through?
I have not. Only over the construction walls coming out of the parking garages.
Okay,
so I know where it is, but I haven't seen it.
You got to. It's really looking beautiful and tropical, and you know, it's not the same green water that goes through most of Florida. It's really pretty.
Well, it's the spring, right?
Exactly. I just didn't expect that part. For some reason, I didn't expect the crystal clear water that's filtered apparently to look that way, like a huge pool. I mean, it just goes around all the restaurants and stuff. It's really nice. The thing I'm most excited about, and I know people will think Star Wars, I'm most excited for Pandora, Avatar. I loved the movie more than I thought I would, and I just think it fits so good in Animal Kingdom. And people say, no, it's going to ruin Animal Kingdom. I just think it's going to be fantastic. And the boat ride, the physical ride with physical animatronics and you know, physical things more than just screens, excites the heck out of me.
I'm very excited about it as well. I never even saw the movie Avatar, honestly, but I love Animal Kingdom, and I think the whole environment of Pandora and Animal Kingdom fits so well. And I have seen so many people argue about how, oh, why is this coming here? Why, you know, why didn't they take another movie and expand with that? And I'm just thinking, guys, chill out. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be really, really cool.
Hold on, Charlotte, please, even if it's just for me, and I'll ask you again in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Take the time out. You could watch it with maybe somebody over 12 if you have family. Watch it. It's about 2.5, maybe it might even be longer, but sit through it. You will thoroughly love it, and you'll come back going, wow, I can't believe I didn't see it. And I can't believe how good it fits into Animal Kingdom.
I will watch it, and when I'm done, I'll post on your Facebook how much I enjoyed it.
I cannot wait for that. Thank you.
I'll definitely watch it because I really would like to see how it's awesome. Going to fit all together. Yeah,
you're going to love it, and the end is just it's fascinating.
I definitely think it's interesting. All these people who judge it before it's even here. From what I understand, they're doing some pretty magical things and some technology that we haven't even ever seen before in a Disney park. So, but you know, you get that reaction a lot.
You know what? Do you remember Starbucks when Starbucks was coming?
It was like the worst thing in the world.
Do you know how packed it is and how all those people that were against it can't wait to get their caffeine fix? Now?
Absolutely.
All the time, every day.
You know, Walt would be rolling over in his grave if he knew there would be a Starbucks. But that's what they said. And it's like, you know what? No, he wouldn't. Walt wanted to sponsor everything in the park.
Let me tell you,
sponsors.
did you taste Nescafe? He was rolling in his grave when they were serving Nescafe.
Absolutely, because that's crap.
Used to be McDonald's.
Now, I'm good. I'm headed to the Joffrey's Coffrey over at Flower and Garden Festival because there's no line back there. Right. And it's just,
it was good. Exactly. I had that last week.
Good coffee.
In fact, they have some special blends that are just for Walt Disney World.
Yeah, you can go to Joffrey's site and order.
There's,
order pounds of coffee and have it shipped to your house that are there.
I am surprised that somehow this agreement with Starbucks allowed Joffrey's to stay in any form.
I don't know how.
It is a little bit crazy, yeah.
It is. You would think they would be satellite little Starbucks, but no. I'm kind of glad they have both, though.
And, you know, so the other thing that that brings up is the, you know, getting rid of Maelstrom. That was like people really lost their minds over that. And I'm like, you know what? Maelstrom was okay, but they didn't get rid of Thunder Mountain. I mean, come on.
I didn't think Maelstrom was all that.
It was mediocre. So let's not judge. And I know I know it's hip to hate Frozen.
Yeah.
But let's see what they do with it, and and then make our judgments. Because I bet dollars to dimes, it's going to be better than Maelstrom.
Most of the Frozen haters are within our community and within our bubble. The average little girl or little boy who loves Frozen is not at the park every single day or every week, and they are looking for it when they go there. Disney's not stupid with their marketing money. They know what the people still want. And when they really reject it, you know, they'll know it, and you'll see it stop.
Yeah.
But until then, it's when that ride opens up, you see that line, and you see if they're hating Frozen.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
So how are they – so here's my question. Obviously, this attraction has to be FastPass Plus when this thing opens. How can they not open World Showcase until 11 o'clock and have a line of people potentially from Mexico or from Norway, which is open for breakfast, all the way to Mouse
Kingdom? I have a feeling they're probably going to use this as part of the way to open up the international gateway sooner there. I have a feeling
I would think so. Now, do you think that means potentially opening Mexico and Three Cabrios a little earlier to offload some of that?
I would absolutely think so. It would be silly not to, in my opinion.
It would be silly not to, and that's why I'm wondering what your thoughts are, because I see it potentially leading to that side of World Showcase opening earlier to accommodate all these little princesses that want to ride.
Might be a great way to start serving breakfast in some of those kiosks over there and stuff like that. Speaking of which, the Starbucks, even though I know they're little frozen egg sandwiches, it's a good, inexpensive breakfast if you need a way to get a quick, inexpensive $5 breakfast.
Yep.
The bacon, egg, and cheese Gouda is like my go-to.
And you know what's great about that is that if you have Starbucks app already on your phone and you keep it loaded, you can just pay with – you're not even worried about your Disney money because your Starbucks money is already on the app.
And you can't use your rewards at the Disney Starbucks, but you could still get the credit towards rewards outside of Disney.
So you're earning them, but you can't use them. So you buy enough Starbucks, you get a free one back. Okay, fine.
Nice.
That works for me.
It all works out in the end.
Absolutely.
It does. So Starbucks, Frozen. What else do we need to talk about? All right. How about Animal Kingdom? Let's head back over there. You said Bandora. Rivers of Light.
Oh, and all the night stuff happening. The Rivers of Light, we know it. We've seen the – I'm hoping everybody's seen the previews. You see the stadium seating being put in kind of like a Fantasmic over there.
Yeah. And the new little counter service and the old Expedition Everest Fast Pass.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yes, I saw it.
Or at least it's a snack bar of some sort. Let's put it this way. With all the people that are going to be gathered around there, they need somewhere to sell more drinks to monetize
the
area.
I'm thinking a restroom has to be added somewhere. I know there is one towards, you know, if you're facing Everest, there's one to the left, but it's quite far down. I can't imagine everybody would be going to that one. So I'm thinking there's a...
Well, there's some pretty big ones by Nemo, right?
Is there over by Nemo?
There are back down Nemo.
But that's...
Yeah, anytime they have that big...
I'm still thinking there's got to be something in the middle of that.
Well, when we were there last week, there was a section walled off that looked like, I think it was called River Delight Treats. So it was a big snack bar, but it looked like they could have been added on to that bathroom area over there.
That would be interesting. If I find that out, I'll let you know quickly. Did you hear about the something? Is it Awakenings that they're going to do on the Tree of Life?
Oh, that's going to be amazing.
I've heard a little bit about it.
It doesn't seem like a full show. It seems like 3 minutes, the tree comes alive, something happens, and it stops, and then a couple minutes later, there's another 3 minute using the projection technology that does celebrate the magic on the castle. And I kind of like that it's not a full show, that it's, you know, wait, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
That'll be really neat. Like the animals are coming to life and like
exactly.
maybe walking off the tree over to the river to take their place in the show.
And it'll make Sam and me crazy to see did we film it all yet, or is there still something else going
to
happen?
Exactly. Exactly. How many times do I have to come back, and where do I need to position myself to get this right angle? Exactly. That's how it all goes. But that's actually interesting because that – what I'm reading, that projection mapping on the tree is the beginning of Rivers of Light.
And it's weird because
it sort of starts with
that. It has to be on that certain angle that the people could still see the tree. From Rivers of Light, it's far away from the tree. I know you could still see it, but
it is.
I forgot how much you can see from that area. I don't remember how much of it you could see.
That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
So, since you video so much, what are your video thoughts about when the nighttime safari comes? When we were there last week, I was so excited to see the hyenas. And all I could think of was, oh my gosh, they're going to be so cool at nighttime. How would you video that? I mean,
well, I don't know, Sam, do you have night shot? I have something on my camera called night shot, which is pretty good.
I do not. I have not played with it that much.
It's just a button that kind of – it does drown out color. But if you – actually, you could watch it if you watch the Daisy De La Cruz video, the – what's that? The parasol lady. Mm-hmm. I use night shot on her. If for the first 20 seconds of the video, you see what it looks like without night shot, and she's just this purple blur. And then I turn it into night shot, and you don't think the color's drowned out, but it is. But you get to see her very clear, and it brightens up everything. It's almost like a kind of a – like I don't know. I don't want to say infrared, but it's a weird thing that it does.
Very cool.
But, yeah, I can do that with the camera and get much more detail than if I didn't use that.
All right, nerd. So you heard that. Try your night shot out before you go to the nighttime safari.
You know, that's a great point there, Charlotte, is trying.
Exactly.
Don't try it there for the first time.
Yeah, try it at home. Practice. Outside with your kids and the dog in the backyard.
Yeah, it'll make your pets look like they have demon white glowing eyes, but the rest of the people.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Thanks so much for being on the show. Go to BigFatPanda.com. Check out John Panda. Check out his videos. We thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Hope to see you maybe this weekend, if not next week.
Yep. I think I'll see you Saturday, and hopefully we can do this again. It was a blast. I thank you guys so much.
Well, we really appreciated you coming on.
When you need another guest or somebody cancels, call me.
We definitely will.
Awesome. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, Sam. Jimmy Oles.
All right, guys. For the Disney Nerds Podcast, this is Jimmy Quaharini.
This is Charlotte. Just keep swimming.
Kongaloosh.
All right.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in